we've been talking about the miraculous, the spiritual, the realities. Spiritual realities is what came to mind. Even after I named this message, I said, you know what? Maybe spiritual reality should have been the title, because that's what we're coming into. The fact that we are spirit beings is something that I don't think we think about enough, but we are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Just like you have the triune God. We're made in his image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you have a body, you have a soul, and if you're born again, you have a brand new spirit according to the word of God. The spirit of man, by design, was fashioned to enable us to communicate and to interact and commune with a God who is spirit. God is spirit. They who will worship him will do it how? Spirit and truth. So it's a spiritual reality that we are spirit beings, and we need to understand it. We need to be able to engage God. We need to be able to walk in it. I just believe that the more intelligent we are about spiritual realities, the more we're able to walk into it with confidence, with boldness, with courage, and the more we are able to become productive. Now, what I have learned, and unfortunately in today's religious economy, if you will, is that most believers don't want to learn about anything that doesn't appear to have a direct benefit to them. If it's not something that makes their life easy, if it's not something that makes them feel good, they don't tend to have the same desire to pursue it as those things that might make their life easy. If it's a message about them getting new jobs and increases, in fact, even if it's just an exhortation that talks about them getting some more stuff and life easier, people get excited. You never have to beg for an amen or an agreement or a response from a crowd when you're telling them about stuff that's going to benefit them. So this kind of message is that kind of message that doesn't really tickle the fancy, but if you get it and you allow it to minister to you and you embrace it, it can increase your capacity to be effective for the kingdom of God, which should be the ultimate thing for any believers. Because, listen, Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, all of its righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you preach this message consistently in today's economy, it will put a lot of people out of business. Because if people actually get what that scripture is saying, you understand that you really shouldn't be spending a lot of time worrying about how you're going to live. You shouldn't be consumed with it. You shouldn't need a motivational message to encourage you to believe God for stuff when he says if you make the kingdom and righteousness priority, he'll supply the stuff. So it's like, you know, get that done. It's like the easy bake oven, you know, put it in there, cut the little light on, and let it do what it do. You don't have to get yourself all riled up and excited. I mean, that doesn't mean that you don't have tough times and difficulties. You will. We all will. Amen? But he says, I'll supply. He'll provide. So the focus, our focus, our priority has to be the kingdom and its righteousness. That's what our priority has to be. As you understand what it means to really embrace the supernatural, to really embrace the miraculous, as I stated the other day, if you were to remove the supernatural and the miraculous out of the Bible, you would wind up with a pamphlet. You would just have a pamphlet. You could just sit down while you're waiting for the dentist and read the entire thing, consume it, and you'll be done. Because the kingdom of God operates by the supernatural and by the miraculous. Supernatural means above natural, other than, more than natural, not just how men operate. It's a whole different set of rules. Are you following what I'm saying? And so we have to embrace this in order to be able to become productive for God's purposes, and that's the ultimate. The ultimate is that you become the salt and light, that you shine, that lives are changed, communities are changed, nations are changed because of us believers. But that can only happen by way of the supernatural. So there's some supernatural realities. I left off last week with 1 Corinthians 4:20, which says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." The kingdom of God is not just word, but power. In other words, it's not just enough to become well-versed in Scripture. It's not just enough to become intelligent believers, because the kingdom of God, it moves and operates and functions by the power of God. And we need the power of God. Amen? So I want us to become more comfortable with moving in things of the Spirit. More comfortable. Now, some people, when they hear that, in fact, the word spiritual itself has become, you know, somewhat of a, I guess, a nebulous term. It's almost spooky when you say spiritual. But how many know, everyone here, even if you're not a believer, in some way are engaged by the spirit realm? Now, if you're a believer, you have the ability to walk in the Spirit on a regular basis and to be able to touch and affect spiritual things on a regular basis. If you believe, I just want to do a little exercise this morning just to demonstrate something to you. Because I know this, that many believers don't realize how spiritual they are, and they don't realize how much they actually are touching the realm of the Spirit. So I want you to get one person. They can be seated right next to you. And I want you to just join us in prayer. And here's the prayer that I want you to pray today. I want you to ask God to help us in this lesson and help us in this series to comprehend to a greater extent the things of the Spirit. I want you to pray with me now and pray together with someone next to you. If there's an odd number, then it's going to be three people. Ask God, listen now, ask God to open our eyes and give us greater revelation about it, what it means to function in the realm of the Spirit. Is that okay? All right, ready, set, pray. Hey, man, y'all got in there. Wow, that's awesome. Normally the saints pray about half a second and they're done, but y'all are going on with it. Amen. So So we just prayed. So what we just did was we entered into another realm. We entered into the realm of the Spirit. Every one of us just entered into the realm of the supernatural. You entered into a realm that is foreign to the world you live in. Completely foreign. You just went to a place that only believers have the privilege, the capacity to enter into. You just had a legitimate conversation with the one who created you. You just had a very real interaction with the God of the universe, the God that created the heavens and the earth. I mean the mastermind of all there is, the one that was, the one that is, and the one that is to come. You just got through spending time together, not only with him, but with your brother and sister, who also is a part of this body, with him being the head and us being the body. You just got to interact with him, and that's a very real thing. This is no play thing. You didn't just say prayers. You just walked into, the Bible says that we are to come boldly into the throne of grace. We just walked boldly. Now, some of you, even this week, struggle with some things, struggle with some sins, struggle with some issues. And some of you, listen, I'm not trying to hurt you with this. Some of you have not talked to him all week long. But today, you walked clearly, boldly, with just instruction, just receiving what was told you. You walked right into the throne room of grace and start talking to God. No hesitation, no fear, no thought about should you or should you not be there. And it's by virtue of the blood of Jesus that you have this access, full access, full access. So you walk right in it, right there, and you ask him for something that he is more than willing to give you. In fact, he wants to give it to you more than you want to get it. Now, whenever you pray and talk to God and make a request for something that he wants to give you more than you want to get it, you got to know that heaven pays attention. Stuff is moving about now. You can't see it. You can't observe it. But if you express what you just express out of real faith, meaning you believe, one, that you were there in that throne room, two, that there was somebody listening, three, that he heard what you said, and four, that he's willing to respond. If that was what happened for you this morning, there's something happening in the spirit realm that's bringing it all together. Now, for some of you, it'll be immediate. Some of you will be tomorrow. Some of you will be a couple years from now. And some you might walk for the rest of your life trying to get it. But don't doubt it for one second that heaven didn't hear what you just said in this place today. Now, this is a privilege that we have. And it's a privilege. And I want you to write this one down. It is a privilege for purpose. Being able to enter into the realm of the Spirit, being able to commune with God, it is a privilege with purpose, because God is trying to do something in the earth. And he can't do it without you, because he decided not to do it without you. Isn't that something? He made a conscious decision. Now, you do know he could have just spoke the change and the whole thing would have changed. But he made a conscious decision to use some human beings in their broken state, which is the fascinating part about it. And so he said, well, I'll give you grace as a bridge, so that every time you blow it, you just put this out there and just keep walking, keep moving. So we walk into this place. Now, the key element, really, because you, and it's good, you didn't really have time to process it. I'm talking it out now. So you didn't have a chance to process it or to think about it. But I want you to start processing and think about it, because once you process it and think about it, now it becomes very powerful and very effective. You just did it because the pastor told you to do it. Some reluctantly, some were excited, but you did it, right? So you began to move in the realm of the Spirit because you were instructed to do that. But I'm explaining to you what actually transpired when you did it. Now, if you can become consciously aware of that reality, you know then that when you open your mouth, that immediately you're in a place that nobody else can go unless they are named a child of God. The angels can't go where you just went. So now, if we can just do it on purpose, if we can be more deliberate, if we can understand what it is that he wants out of us, then we can agree with him in our conversation with him. And that's a critical part of the walk, is just agreeing with what God said about you. So part of the deal is just imagery, just, you know, the concept of who we are, the concept of God. I mean, I can go so many places with this message, so I'm just going to just flow. This the other piece, I think I explained this the other day. Now, when we just prayed in Jesus' name, even if you didn't say it. If you didn't say in Jesus' name, you just prayed in Jesus' name. All right? Because to pray in Jesus' name means to pray in his authority and in his nature. His nature, his authority. What does that mean? Well, it means that as far as God sees you, when you decide to participate in this realm, the supernatural realm, when you began to function and operate in this supernatural realm, you are no longer perceived as that broken person that you are. Experientially, you're a broken person. Experientially, you still have your issues and your stuff that you're working with. But when you enter into that realm in Jesus' name, in his nature, in his authority, then you are received in the heavenlies on a different level altogether, because now you're perceived as Jesus himself talking. See, these are things that you have to know and believe.
Yeah, that's right.
When you know and believe these things, now your prayer life is different, because you're not praying based on how you feel about how you've been performing. You're not praying based on what grade level you think you've grown to. Just because you didn't read the book, maybe you don't think you should be able to pray this morning, but that's not true. You just need to read the book. But as far as heaven is concerned, when you pray, you are still coming in the authority of Jesus Christ, which gives you the full right and privileges, just as though it was him asking Daddy for that. Just as though it was Jesus talking to the Father. He said, when you pray, you pray, our Father, not just my Father. He said, this is a shared deal. He said, I'm the only begotten, but you're adopted. You're joint heirs. What I got, you got. Who I am to him, that's who you are to him. So just come with that knowing. Now, the key is faith. Faith is the thing. Now, I'm not talking about the hyper faith. Hyper faith is a whole different deal. Hyper faith is when you are straining your brain, trying to confess stuff and repeating stuff in your head and writing notes to yourself. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the knowing kind of faith. The knowing. Yeah, there's a confidence. I got a relationship with you. This is Brother Dukes. He'll fight you for me. There's a knowing there. I don't have to repeat that over and over to be convinced of that reality. That's a knowing. There's a reality. I got that. I got some people over here that will cut you. I had Pastor Sam. We were in Africa, Pastor Sam. Somebody tried to grab my luggage off the luggage rack, and I was busy just being greeted, and I heard a rumble. I didn't have to turn around and look to see what was happening. I knew somebody did something wrong, and that Peter Spirit rose up and Pastor Sam. I said, somebody about to get cut. So when we rolling together, there's a knowing. I'm rolling with God. There is a knowing. I have a relationship with him that's not based on my performance. I have a relationship with him based on what Jesus did. And what he's doing. Bible says he's an advocate. Did you know you had an advocate in heaven? You didn't even know that, did you? I'm just telling you right now. That's why you come in here, man. You're going to be loaded, too. I'm telling you. Man, God get through you, boy, my Jesus. You have an advocate. That's Jesus' present function and role is our advocate. He's our Johnny Cochran. Some go wacky. He said, no, let me just set the record straight. And the way he sets it straight is, no, he's not guilty. The Bible says the devil is an accuser of the brethren. Jesus steps up away and says, excuse me, Your Honor, I paid the debt.
Come on. Come on now. Come on, say it. Come on.
This man is not guilty. But ain't no bust the blood. Never loses power. Hallelujah. So, we just did something. Now, we want to get into a practice of functioning in the realm of the spirit, of function, becoming comfortable in the realm of the supernatural, becoming familiar and in fact, to the point where it's natural for us to expect miracles, the miraculous. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday that sometimes miracles are happening. We don't recognize them as miracles, but it's happening all the time. But God has done something. I know most of us, or a lot of us, particularly brothers, men, I should say, we have issues. When we're younger, we do the dumbest things. We do now. We just do some of the dumbest things. And you look back, and you can actually get chills because you think, that could have taken me out. But God... I want to read this scripture in Romans 6. I wasn't quite sure how this was going to roll out. I just knew what I had to say. Romans 6, chapter 1. Now, you know, I'm pulling this out of a conversation that's dealing with sin, but these points that I'm making in that, and it's dealing with sin and actually the righteousness of God, which is what we have to get a hold of, to be able to walk out without hesitation and, you know, the stop and go, to just be able to forge ahead, you have to embrace what is true. And when the Lord says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you got to embrace that. It takes faith to embrace that. Just like you pray. You just prayed. You just talked to God. When you take the word, I shared with the brothers yesterday, I said, you really have to short-circuit the brain, short-circuit the mind, your thinking, to embrace what is really true. Because what is really true, because it's by faith based on what God has said, you may not find tangible evidence of it in the earth. But in heaven, it's very real. It's substance there. All right. Am I making sense? So... You, when you read the word, many times the word will say things. If you're not thinking on this supernatural, on this spiritual level, you can even do a Hollywood stop and just go past it and not grab it and then own it for what it really just said. Because the Bible says some really powerful stuff about us that if you're thinking as a mere man and not understanding what your position is in God, then you won't be able to receive it. You can't receive it. Your faith is not making the connection to be able to receive what was just stated. But there's some things that's happened to us when we said I do to Jesus that many believers have not received. You can even hear it in prayers. Some people, when they pray, you can hear that they didn't hear what God already said about that matter. So they keep praying about something that God has already addressed. He's already told them what the answer is, but they can't do anything beyond that point because they have not received the spiritual ears to hear, to be able to hear. In Ephesians, Paul says, you know, I really want to make you aware, and I'm paraphrasing, I want to make you aware of the spiritual blessings that you have. That's all I'm trying to do here. Make you aware of the spiritual blessings that you have. So, the Bible says a lot of beautiful things, and here's one very powerful one in Romans 6:1. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So the question was, you know, well, since we have grace, you know, do we just go ahead and sin? I mean, what's the use of trying to do right when we covet? I mean, it's kind of a logical question, right? Well, if the blood of Jesus covered me and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, why don't I just do my thing and I'll see Jesus later? Well, the problem with the thinking is simply this. The problem with that thinking is this thinking is very selfish. You're only thinking about your own deal. But he said, no, you're a part of something that's much, 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 much bigger. And a part of what transpires in the process of you becoming all that he would have you to be in an experiential way is that the whole world needs what you just received, but they need to see it walked out and demonstrated. They can see it walked out and demonstrated through the change in your life, change your attitude. I had a preacher that used to preach at our church, Elder Windham, this Don Alford's father-in-law, and he would come and he would preach, and he would always ask the question. And he says, I had a guy at my church, on my job. And he said he would run up to me all the time. And Elder Windham was a pretty nice-sized guy. And he said, how do you know you pray, you save Windham? He said, because I ain't bust you in your mouth. Easy math. The moral of the story is he could have busted him in his mouth, asked for forgiveness, and kept it moving. But the bigger story is that man saw a man who would have previously busted him in his mouth, not bust him in his mouth, and keep loving him. So he said, no, do we sin? The grace may abound. You know, then we get more grace, and that's a good thing. He said, no, dumb, that's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get you in a position that you can do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. So what the grace does for you is just gives you something of an enablement, of the divine enablement, so that when you do fail at your attempt to succeed, grace covers the failure so that you can keep succeeding. That's some good, I'm telling you, this is some good stuff right here now. So it's like heaven saying, don't stop, you can do this. You know, I think I can. You can do this. Many people are just paralyzed. Christians, they don't even try to become more like him because they fail so many times, they just figure, what's the use? It can't be real. It can't be possible. So you have to keep pressing and keep going and keep moving and keep praying and keep believing what he said about you while the experience catches up with the proclamation. My God. Stay in the game till the experience of walking with him catches up with what he's already declared. He's already declared you as righteous. My goodness. Some of us work so hard to be righteous, and then when we fail, we just go somewhere and just lay out. He says, no, don't do that. Take the grace. Receive the grace. And try again. And then he tells us as believers, now extend the grace. Extend it to one another. Some of us, we have our, you know, husbands, wives, something happened 25 years ago. We still holding on. He said, you're never going forward like that. You're never going forward. You're going to be stalled, paralyzed in that position until you extend the grace that you received. You extend the grace you receive, you can move forward. So we have to practice receiving the grace. Receiving grace. Come on, say this with me. Practice receiving grace. One more time. Practice receiving grace. One more time. Practice receiving grace. The fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is an extension of grace. Grace, something that you don't deserve, you didn't earn, and you couldn't earn it if you want to. In fact, Ephesians, Paul says, that's how you got your salvation, by the extension of grace. How do you get your salvation? By receiving the grace. Nothing else. Nothing more, nothing less. Just receive the grace. Practice. Okay, so now grace comes. There's so many different levels of it. Supernatural is a grace. If I speak prophetically, we talked yesterday about not only me speaking prophetically, but some other brothers who spoke to some other brothers prophetically last week, and God spoke to them, and it's like, wow. And I explained, you know, gifts of the Spirit are not just for the leaders of the church. Gifts of the Spirit is for the body. And the Bible's clear. It said that because it's for the edifying, the equipping, the building up. So we're able, but we have to receive the grace, receive the grace. Receive it, accept what he said is available to you. It's available. If that grace is available to you, just receive it. So many spiritual gifts. Paul said, I just want you to be intelligent. I want you to be familiar. I want you to be comfortable in this environment, in this world of being able to receive the grace. The gift of healing, supernatural healing. We talked about this. By the way, I'm glad I said that. I reminded myself that I did, in fact, post on the Facebook wall the photo with me with the young lady, and then the video story of her getting out that wheelchair after being in it for 22 years. God is trying to bring us into a place. I'm not saying to just get thrilled, not to become thrill seekers. That's a whole different deal. Not just thrill seekers. We just want God to do something. Let's just watch God. Let's just go to this church. God going to do something. You know, Benny Hinn, just pack out stadium. Good majority of the people just there to just see. Let's see if this is real. No, God wants you to live in a place to know that's why you were created. That's why Jesus came. Heal the sick. Do what the doctors couldn't do. So Romans 6:1, continuing. Verse 2, of course, answer to the question, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So we died to sin. So come on, just say, I died to sin. Look at somebody and say, and you died to sin. So if we died to sin, then there's something that has happened, that has already happened to us and happened in us, that makes us different. We have become new creatures, a new creation, because we have died to sin. So sin, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, no longer has the power that it had before we had a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we can actually subdue it. Remember, he told Cain, subdue sin. It crouches at the door. Subdue it. So we can subdue it. Now, it's not, sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's immediate, some stuff. Some of you got saved, and immediately you stop cussing everybody out. Some of you are still cussing people out. You know, sidebar, this new generation, and I posted it sometime today, this new generation lives out loud what we tucked and hid. They live with inverted hypocrisy. Told somebody, listen, there's no church I've ever been to that there weren't not gay people. It's just that our generation kept gay people in the closet. The new generation opened the door and had a party. So now everybody said, well, Jesus got to be coming back. Look at this world. No, the world hasn't changed at all. Just the door opened. Just the light came on. We were out the other evening. There was a young man. I mean, he was very manly, sort of. But he had stilettos on, lipstick and mascara. But you could tell he was conflicted because he wasn't quite sure if that's really what he wanted to do or if he wanted to just be manly. I engaged him in conversation, and I know that God has given me a grace to deal with this generation. I said, I'm not afraid of what I see. What I see is what's been all along. I had friends like that growing up in church. It was just closeted. It was just on lockdown. This generation just says, here it is. Part of its shock value. It's no different than the pants hanging down here. It's the same thing. I need to express myself. I need you to recognize me as an individual. And I like the fact that I get that negative attention, because negative attention is better than no attention at all. So I'm not moved by that, because I'm able, by the grace of God, to see you as a human being that's just hungry for God, that you just don't know quite yet in the way that he would have you to know him. And I'm not saying that you need to look like me, act like me, but I'm saying that the external doesn't freak God out, and it shouldn't freak us out. I just, you know, I hope some of y'all stay around when the freakiness come in here, because I'm open to it. I've always had the belief that people can be helped far more inside this room than outside of this room. And whatever stage of the journey they're in, God bless them. Y'all got quiet on me on that one. Verse 3, I'm still in Romans 6, verse 3 says, or do you not know, or do you not know, or do you not know that as many as of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. What's my point here? My point is, again, what's being described here is not natural. It's supernatural. The only way we can walk this thing out is by embracing what the scripture says that is supernatural. It is not natural. So the mind without the mind of God will not be able to perceive, receive, or walk any of this that's being stated out. As long as we think carnally as mere men, we can't even hear what Paul just said in this passage. So he asked the question, do you not know? And I've discovered that many believers don't know a whole lot of things about who they are in Christ. So he's not just asking the question for rhetorical purposes. He's asking the question because it's a real question that more believers need to be asked, and then there needs to be a pause to see if a correct answer comes back. And if it doesn't, then we need to fix that. Now, what he said in a nutshell, he says, first of all, you know, you said, well, maybe we should live this way. He said, no. Do you realize what has happened? Clearly, you don't. So the bigger question is, so would Jesus just go ahead and keep having premarital sex? That's what he's asking them. Would Jesus just go ahead and keep getting high? Would Jesus cuss people out? What would Jesus do? You know, that belongs to you too. So they said, should we just continue to do our thing? He said, no, because something happened, dude. And do you not know what happened? Because the inference is, if you knew what happened, you wouldn't even be asking this dumb question. Because what you're asking by asking this question, what you're really saying is, should we just take Jesus and do our thing? Should we? Should we just walk Jesus into our stuff and then we just get it on? Because we got great. That's what he said. Listen. Do you not realize that you, when you became a believer, first of all, you went from being an individual to part of a collective body. That collective body is Christ. Now, this is a supernatural reality. This ain't just pretty words on the page. This actually occurred. This happened. You got baptized. In other words, there was a retroactive activity that occurred when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. You were then baptized, or let me put it to you this way, another way of saying it, is that you were made a part of or placed inside of Christ and all of his experiences. Let me see the bottle, this illustration I've used before. So this is you before you were saved. And you were here, and he was there. When you gave your life to Christ, you were made a part of him. You cannot take this water and separate it and tell me who is you and who is him. Because all you have here is him. So when we prayed a minute ago, he didn't go into the room. He did. You came in his nature. You came in his authority. Cheers. He said, do you not know that that happened? Do you not know that you're no longer this guy? That he got swallowed up by this guy? Swallowed up by this guy. Swallowed up. So much so that now God don't even see him anymore. He sees this guy. He said, so you were baptized into him. You were baptized into the reality of his coming. You were baptized into the reality of his dying, and you were baptized into the reality of his being resurrected. The only thing that hasn't happened for you is the experiential reality has not caught up with the proclamation, and that it already happened supernaturally. But one day, hallelujah, one day you will experience the resurrection. As he experienced the resurrection, the experience will catch up with what actually heard or happened already. Am I the only one excited about this, my Jesus? He said, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in this newness of life. Walk in the way that you believe it. The scriptures are loaded with things that can only be received and enjoyed by faith in the supernatural. These aren't intellectual concepts that you can wrap your head around. These are things that are heavenly. They're kingdom-based. And the kingdom of God is much greater, much higher than the kingdom of this world. That this world cannot, what I just explained to you, this world could never comprehend that. If you told somebody that, the Bible calls it the foolishness of the gospel. Foolishness of the gospel. Say, what'd you just say? Man, what you been drinking? Something's wrong with you. You said you talk to God and you talk to him in the nature of Jesus. I did it. The whole room, we all did it together. We walked right into the throne room of the one that created you and had a conversation about you. And I have some expectation that some things going to move too, because the Bible says that he hears me when I pray. When I pray according to his will, the Bible says when we pray according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. He hears us. So you're not just saying words. You know, that's why I don't like mumbling prayer where you just forget what you're saying and you half sleep. Because I know I'm having a real conversation with God. But you know, sometimes you can get kind of regimented and you just start saying stuff. You know, I tell people even in our corporate settings, when we pray, you know, pray what you feel in your heart to pray. Pray what you hear the Lord prompting you to pray. And if that's just a little bit, say that and shut up instead of saying a lot of stuff that don't mean nothing to nobody. Because we actually have somebody on the line here. You know? we don't need to dishonor his time and disrespect him and act like he ain't real. He ain't listening. When he's listening right now. He's watching right now. In fact, now if you want to get into the supernatural realm, he's actually talking right now. Talk aloud and saying something. So Jesus said, if you got ears to hear. Paul said, I pray that you get wisdom and knowledge and revelation, that you'll be able to hear this. He said, because there's so much there. He said, there's spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But why are we living this way? As though we don't know him. As though we're mere men. There's so much for us. So we have to, I'll continue talking next week, but we got to continue to develop our faith. Now, again, I don't want to overcomplicate that because it's not that complicated. The better way to say it is we just need to receive what's real. Got to practice receiving what is real. And what is real is what he says, not what we see. Not what we feel. Faith comes by hearing his words. That's how faith comes. Jesus says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's where it comes from. If I get that, then I connect with the reality that what he says is real, so I just grab that. I grab that. I own that, right? Anybody sick in here today?